Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
We're about the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. John Hughes on Twitter. Check that out, tweeting. John Hughes tweets. I love how you guys asked Bryce twice how much interaction he has with the new Vandy AD. Both times he filled the airwaves with many words but didn't answer your question. I mean, you can ask the question.
He hasn't quite gotten to the point of Jeff Fisher making you think that he answered your question yet.
My guess is with new AD, with basketball, I mean, basketball's his thing, but with new AD and another big signing class coming in, don't you give him one more recruiting class and see what happens next year?
Absolutely. Before making that decision? But man, there's got to be progress, and there's got to be significant progress, I would think.
Chris Lowe joins us from ESPN.com. Do you know anything differently about the Vanderbilt basketball situation there, Chris?
No, just that it's been a long year there on West End. I mean, and when you have the kind of injuries, certainly to marquee players, you're going to suffer. I don't think, though, even if you would have told people that was going to happen, you're going to lose a player of that caliber, that you were going to be looking down the barrel of a winless season, the league.
Chris, how surprised are you that, like, it seems like all the storylines coming out of the combine involve SEC players, right? Kentucky edge rusher Josh Allen, a 4.6. Mississippi State pass rusher Montez Sweat, a 4.42, which is faster than Antonio Brown, by the way. We're talking about him. Ole Miss wide receiver DK Metcalf, 6'3.5", 228, 1.6% body fat, ran a 4.33, and then cried talking to his mom afterward. I mean, you just guy after guy. Auburn cornerback Jamel Dean, the fastest cornerback number at 4.3. Ole Miss safety Cedric Woods, fastest safety number at 4.29. Just on and on.
Well, there are not a lot of storylines surrounding Tennessee players at the combine.
There are zero storylines.
But guys who went to high school in Tennessee, Chris, and for some reason never, made it to Tennessee.
Isn't that amazing, though, and give you more perspective on the job that Jeremy Pruitt did, beating two top 25 teams with no NFL combine players in this class?
No, I think it does. I think there's a couple different ways to read that what you just said, that they probably did, probably too, if they played probably better than they should have. Like, certainly, that's two teams are ranked in the top 25 by the time they beat them. And I think the other is that you just never can get too caught up in recruiting rankings. They're always going to be a gauge, but they're not an absolute. It's so important what you do with them, what you're going to want on your campus.
Josh Allen's a two-star player and could go number two overall.
Right. I mean, look at Josh Allen. Is that who you just mentioned, Allen?
Yep.
Yeah,
I mean, I was up there, spent part of most of the weekend for the Mississippi State game this year, and I remember talking to Mark Stoops about him. I mean, here's a guy that just, had incredible work ethic and had that size speed combo and just was able to be developed. And again, took coaching. I mean, it's hard to, with as little time as you get around these kids sometimes in recruiting, and you're usually getting the best possible picture of them from coaches and people around them. You're not going to get the dirt or well, this kid doesn't have a good work ethic, but so much of it is once a kid gets on campus, how self-motivated is he? How much is he going to push himself and challenge himself? And will he be able to accept our coach? I remember David Cutcliffe told me one time. He said, you can tell pretty quickly when you get kids on campus for the first time and you get around them with a strength coach and us, if they're used to being pushed, if they are going to be receptive to hard coaching and understand that we're not coaching them hard because we want it to be penal. We're coaching because we want them to get to where we feel like they can get to. Some kids get that. Some kids never get it. And sometimes it takes a couple of years for kids to get it. But I think that's a big part of the whole recruiting process, too. And how quickly do kids learn? How quickly can they process information once they get on campus? And now, Allen's a great example of that. I mean, he was a guy that wasn't on anybody's radar, and now he's going to be one of the top pass rushers taken off the board.
Chris, obviously it's spring football season. Anywhere that it's not, it's about to be. I didn't get a chance to ask you about this last week, but Barry Odom and Mizzou opening up spring practice like wide open to the media. I don't know if people realize that just doesn't happen anymore.
No, it really doesn't. And spring ball is different than the fall, as you know, because so much of spring is, you know, you're feeling out guys, letting them, you kind of see what some guys can do. You're experimenting. You're not showing a whole lot. And, you know, so many of these spring games are on TV now anyway. You know, so the whole goal there, I've always joked around with coaches that the two goals in spring are not to get anybody hurt, not to show too much. I still think it's cool that they're doing that. And I've always felt like the coaches, especially in football, it's, you know, all this espionage, you know, people are watching and they're going to do it. I'm not too proud to say this. As a writer who covers football and has done it for 25 years, half the time when I'm out there watching practice, I don't know what the heck's going on anyway. If I wanted to call Coach X or Coach Y and said, hey, this, and this, no, I can tell you where guys are playing, but you're looking all the way across the field most of the time. It's hard to figure out, and this comes from somebody who's seen a ton of NFL practices and a ton of college practices, what they're doing and what's going on. No, I think it's good. I think even more so than that, though, and you're seeing this some in the combine, I think coaches, by and large, do a disservice to kids by not letting them talk to the media more. Now, I'm not saying you got to open it wide open and everybody talks every day, but I think we're past the whole, I'm going to put the quietus on this player his entire career because I'm afraid of what he might say, not represent the program. I mean, you coach those kids up, you get people in there that can help them, because that's what life is. What you get, I don't care if you're going to play football or you're going to go on, is being able to conduct yourself and represent yourself with people, whether it's interviews with media or anybody else. And I think when you go through an entire career and you're expected to perform at the highest level on the basketball court, on the football field, in front of 80 and 90,000 people, and yet coaches think, well, but maybe he can't do it with four or five writers around or a group of reporters around that he's going to say. To me, it sort of counteracts each other. I think we need to have more of these kids talking and put in front of the media so they'll be equipped going forward in life, not just in sports, but in life.
That's a great point. Chris, along the lines of spring football, I know, you know, you don't get to see a ton. Big goal is no injuries. But what college program team are you most looking forward to seeing, watching, reading, learning about when it comes to this spring?
You know, and you're always right on top of it, as usual. I'm writing a story just along those same lines for you. It's going to run later this week about what storylines in spring that are most compelling. And I think right there at the top for me, well, there's a couple, but right there at the top is, you know, it's Ryan Day's show now at Ohio State. Yeah. Urban's gone. Day filled in for a couple games last year when Urban was suspended, but it's his, you know, it's his deal. What kind of stamp do we see on his watch? You know, is it going to be a lot like what we saw in Urban? Is it different? What are the differences going to be? A lot of people are going to be watching, and I think that's one. What happened at Oregon? You know, can they make a run? You know, what do you got? Probably the best, if not the best, one of the best quarterbacks in the country coming back. Can they make a run in the Pac-12? The Pac-12, to me, looks like it's wide open. I mean, I don't know that you could point to anybody in the Pac-12 right now and say this team is dominant. You know, maybe Washington, we're going to see Jacob Eason take over there at quarterback after transferring from Georgia. But, you know, but is this the year that Oregon can make a run? And I think the whole staff makeover at Alabama, I mean, it's 7 new on-the-field assistant coaches, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. I think that, too, you know, and Mike Locksley, I thought, did an excellent job last year as OC, and of course, he's at Maryland now, but how do they look? As long as Saban's there, you know, he's the guy that's running that show. We all know that. But when you've had as much turnover as he's had in the last few years, even for a guy like Saban, that sometimes gets to be problematic.
Real quick, on the way out, John Curry getting the job at Wake Forest. How surprised are you that he lands another gig less than a year and a half after whatever that was at Tennessee?
Well, it was a disaster with Coach Curry. And I don't know that all of it was on John, but certainly he was the guy running it, so he's going to get the blame for it. John is very well thought of in administrative circles around college sports. whether it's fellow ADs, people in that part of the world. I thought he would get another shot. Wake Forest is his alma mater. It makes a lot of sense. And frankly, I'm happy for John that he just gets another shot. I mean, it was a disaster. John's a smart guy. I bet he learned from it.
Thank you, Chris. Good stuff, man. We'll talk with you later in the week.
Take care.
All right. See you guys. Chris Lowe at CLO ESPN, ESPN.com is where you can catch his work. When we come back, AB to the Titans, Adam Schefter with a report over the weekend.